All right, today we're going to continue our 3-in-1 series. We have been doing this summer for this series for a while now. It's really three different series under the umbrella of the name 3-in-1. We've been talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We started off the first third of this series talking about the Son, who Jesus was. We spent the middle part talking about the Holy Spirit, and we encourage you, if you missed those teachings, go back, catch up, go online. That teaching on the Holy Spirit can change your life. You got to have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And then now we're on the third half of this, which is really talking about who the Father is. We've been opening up talking about the attributes of the Father. How many know the Father is good? Isn't he so good? As we're understanding and opening up Scripture, we're understanding just how big this really means, that the Father is really just so good that it blows our mind. We can't comprehend how good the Father really is. Last week we talked about the mercy and justice of God, that those two things are both equally operational in the Father who he is. He is full of justice, but yet he's full of mercy, which simply means this, that justice must be served because our God is a God of justice. But because he's a God of mercy, he always has another plan. He always has a way of giving us the mercy. And so he gave his son Jesus to our justice so that when Jesus stands on our side of the scale, that it balances out the scale of justice. And now he looks at us and says, I see my son. I see you, my son and daughter. I see you, and I'm going to treat Jesus the way I should have treated you. And now I'm going to treat you the way I treat my son, which is you're a part of the kingdom of God. What a great thing that God. So how many are thankful for the mercy of God? Can we say amen? Today we're going to talk about the Father is love. The Father is love. We're going to open up in just a second here and read 1 John chapter 4. And before we do, I want to first of all just let you know that John the Beloved here, when he was writing this particular teaching to us, that at this time, before he wrote this, that he was really, I wouldn't say he was in hiding, but he had kind of disappeared in the crowd. Remember, the rest of the disciples have been martyred, they've been killed, and so he had kind of stepped out of the public spotlight. He wasn't in hiding, but he had stepped away from the public spotlight and was just kind of blending in. And during this time, we see where the gospel is being revolutionized. The gospel of Jesus is being spread throughout the regions. They're going everywhere. They're spreading. But John was there, and he was hearing the gospel spoken and preached and told. Now, remember, it was told 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 10th hand. People were hearing it. Hey, let me tell you what happened on the day of Pentecost, what they talked about. This is what they were talking about. It's what Peter was talking about. And they go along and they start talking. And ladies, you know what I'm talking about today when I say this, that, you know, someone told the story one way and the next person tells the story to the mom the next way. And then she tells a brother one way. Then he tells a coworker a different way. Then he tells his boss a different way. And then he tells his dad one way. And then he tells his son a different way. And by this time, we'd seen this chain of events happening where the New Testament gospel was getting kind of messed up. And John was like, all right, I can't take this any longer. He's like, listen, guys, I walk with Jesus. I talk with Jesus. I observe Jesus. Let me tell you what the gospel was really about. Let me tell you, at the center of his message, this is what Jesus was trying to tell us about the Father. This is what Jesus was trying to tell us about the kingdom of God. And he really goes through. Now, see if you can pick up on the theme that 1 John chapter 4, that he's really wanting us to get. See if there's a theme that kind of pops out to you. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is what? Love. God is love. Let's say it together. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but look at this, but that he loved us, sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Are you catching the theme here? What's the theme here? The theme is be mad, right? The theme is make sure you hate your neighbor, right? Are you noticing the theme here? And just in case you didn't pick it up in the first part of this chapter, let's read the last part of this chapter now. Just to make sure you got it all. Look what it says in verse 16 and 21 of John chapter 4. And now, so now, listen, we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm like Jesus. Come on now. This is what he's saying to us. In this world, we got to be like Jesus. What was Jesus about? What was the Father about? Love, love, love. We're seeing it right here. Love. Look what he says. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. That comes from the Father, man. It drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now look at the last part of this. We love because he first loved us. Whoever, look at this, guys. He's talking to us. Whoever claims to love God. Let me say this a different way. Whoever claims to be a Christian, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Now, come on now. Let's stop right there. He says, whoever hates his brother or sister is a liar. You can claim to be a Christian. You can claim to love God. But if you hate your brother or sister, he goes, you're a liar. Now, he wrote those pretty strong words. And he wrote that, and we can read it and say, boy, those people 2,000 years ago, they were really messed up, man. No, I don't care if he was writing to 2,000 years ago, if he was writing this 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, or 25 years ago. This is for us today. This message is for us today, that if we say that we're a Christian, if we say we love God, but I don't love the person whose skin is a different color than mine, he goes, you're a liar. If I don't love the person who votes different than the way I vote, then he says, you're a liar. If I don't love the person who's done me wrong, he goes, man, you're a liar. He says, you gotta love. You gotta love. This is the gospel message, that the Father is love, and he expects you and I to reflect that. He goes, you can't be in God if you don't have love. This is what it's about. And you see, John's correcting. He's bringing back to the church. Listen, you guys are talking about all these things, but if you don't have love, you're missing the point. He goes, it's all about the love of God and the love he gave to us, whom they have not seen. He has given us this command. Everybody say command. It's a command. We must love. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. As Christians, we must understand God's definition of love is different than the world's definition of love. We got to understand that the world, it paints a picture of love that's not God's definition. Because the world's definition is full of selfish ambition. The world's definition is following how you feel today. But God's definition of love is not based on the feeling. Brings us to our first point today. Write this down. Number one, love is a choice. Love is a choice. Now, this goes against everything that the 80s ever taught us about love. The theologians, Ariel Speedwagon, they had it all down wrong. Because love is more than just a feeling. I can't fight this feeling any longer. And when I can't fight it, then I'm not in love anymore. I guess I can't love anymore. It goes against everything because the world teaches us that love is conditioned to our feelings. The world teaches us that love is not a choice, it's a feeling. The problem is this, love is more than a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. See, Hollywood teaches us really the most of our conception, most of our attitudes toward love, we really maybe not realize it, but we allow Hollywood to come and taint that, come and define that for us. And I think Will Ferrell really kind of sums it up in this little skit I want you to get today. It's funny, but it's really so true. This is the way Hollywood kind of views love. Look at this.
I'm sorry, is something wrong, Will? You seem upset.
I'm okay, I don't want to talk about it.
I've known you a long time, but I've never seen you like this. What's the problem?
Well, I don't know if you follow the news at all, but there's this actress, Kristen Stewart, okay? And she goes by K-Stew. And,
she goes by K-Stew?
Yeah, and she had a boyfriend, right? And Robert Patterson, and he's our pass. And
he's okay.
And she cheated on him. And they're broken up. They're not gonna get back together ever. And
I'm sorry.
And what they had was so special, Conan. You don't even know what they had. They were in love. And she just threw it all away.
Okay, well,
I don't know if there was anything I could have done to prevent it. I don't know what it means to the Twilight franchise. I just don't know.
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
It's not going to be fine, ever. Never going to be fine. What they had was so special, you don't even know. You would never know.
Well, you don't never know. I've been in love.
Oh, not like them. Not like them.
Never seen you.
She is a trampire. That's what she is.
That's horrible.
She's a trampire.
You know, that's really the way it is. It's like, you know, you're in love. You're so in love. They're a perfect couple. The next day, we decided to move on. The next day, we decided to give up on love. The next day, I didn't feel like being in love, so I'm not in love. That's not love. That's not true love. And listen to me. Don't let the world define to you what true love is. Because true love is work. And true love is a choice. And true love is commitment. And true love is the way that God committed to us. See, love is not based off of feelings, because your feelings, so what the Word of God says, our feelings go up and down like the waves of the sea. All of us, some days we feel like doing the right thing, some days we don't. Some days we feel like loving, some days we don't. And he said, if you go off your feelings, then that person's going to be unstable, because they're always extremely up, extremely down, extremely up, extremely down. But the mature person learns to say, no matter what I'm feeling, I'm going to love. I'm going to love. I'm going to stay steady. I'm going to walk this thing through in my life, and I'm going to show the love even when I don't feel like it. You know, sometimes when you get up on Sunday mornings, you don't always feel like getting up and coming to church, right? Let's be honest. Even though we have a great church and we love it, sometimes the enemy's there, and men are like, man, I got 1,000 things I'd like to do. This is my only day to sleep in. Man, the fish are biting. Oh, the deer are walking around this morning, or something's happening. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And we're like, man, I really want to be doing something else, but I know that I got to have myself in church, and I know I need to have my family in church. And so you fight through that. You struggle to get here, but you get here, you come in, you know, you still got sleep in your eyes, your hair is still sticking up straight because you didn't have a chance to do it right, your clothes are not ironed, but man, you got here. The kids aren't wearing matching shoes, but it's all right, you're here. But once you get here and you press in, it's like, oh man, I'm so glad I came. The presence of God was here like a flood this morning. Worship was so good. Pastor Gene made me laugh at myself. He allowed the Holy Spirit to move in my life. And man, it changed me. I am so glad that I fought through that and came. It's the same thing in our life, that oftentimes we don't always feel like loving. We don't always feel like doing the right thing. But the mature person says, no, I'm going to choose to do the right thing even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to choose to follow through and do what God's asked me to do even when I don't feel like it. Look what Matthew says, chapter 22, verse 36 through 39. This is Jesus talking to us, okay? Firsthand, what Jesus said to us. Teacher, he was asked this question, which is the greatest commandment? Everybody say commandment. That's important. Amen for that commandment. Hallelujah. What's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love, love, love. Love, love the Lord your God. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He goes, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. I hope the word commandment jumps off to you. Because he's commanded us to love. He's commanded us to love. We got to choose. We got to choose to love. Why? Because he commanded me to love. That means even when I don't feel like it, I got to love. That means even when I don't like that person, ooh, and that happens a lot, I still got to walk in some spirit of love in my life. I got to choose to love even when I don't feel like it. Ephesians 5:25, look what it says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I've had people come to me who are married and like, Pastor, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love him anymore. Or he comes to me, Pastor, I just don't love her anymore. It's time to move on. We're just not in love. It's time to move on. And I say, how selfish can you be? Because love is not a choice. I mean, love is not something I'm feeling. I don't stop loving because I just fell out of love. No, I've got to make sure I don't take the selfish way out. That's the way the world operates. The world operates, and when I don't feel it, I don't do it. And when I feel it, then I must be in love, and I do it. But when I don't feel it, I just do my own thing. No, but the mature person says, no, even when I don't feel like showing love, I'm going to love. Even when I don't feel like going through and doing, I'm going to do it. Because why? Because God first chose me. God says, choose to love. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's a hard choice. It's not an easy choice. Oh, it's not always easy. Let's be honest. It's not always to love difficult people. And you're not always easy to love. I'm not always easy to love. The person sitting next to you especially isn't easy to love at all times. But it's what we've been commanded to do. We've been commanded to love. To love. And it's more than a feeling. It's a choice we must make. And sometimes it's a hard choice. You choose to invest, though, in what you love. Isn't that so true? We choose to invest in what we love. You know, I've been broke. How many of you have been in college? Remember being in college and just being broke from week to week? You remember those days? You're just trying to eat to get by. You've been eating ramen noodles all week long, eating crackers, eating ketchup sandwiches. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Drinking sugar water if you're lucky. You know, you're out there. You're like broke. You can't afford to do anything. But guys, let that girl come along that steals your heart. Wow, 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 baby. And what happens? You find money all of a sudden to take her out to eat. You find money to take her to a movie. You find money to do something. Why? Because you just find ways to invest in the things you like. You find money. You find things to invest in what you love. It moves us like our children. Many times, you know, as parents, we know this, that many times we'll go without in our life to make sure our children have what they need. Why? Because of love. And sometimes they don't even need it. We're just going to spoil them because of love. Come on, we all spoil our kids here. We can admit that. We spoil these kids. And why? Because they need it? No, because of love. When we invest in what we love. Can I be honest with you today? My parents love my kids more than they love me. Any grandmas and grandpas say amen. I knew it was true. My parents love my kids more than they love me. When my kids go to their house. Now listen, when I was growing up, all I wanted was an Atari, Darren. I wanted an Atari. But no, I had to go to my friend's house to play an Atari because we couldn't afford an Atari. My kids go home with grandma and grandpa. They come home. One's got a Wii. One's got a PlayStation. I'm like, who are you people? What has happened to you? Oh, grandma and grandpa bought us this. Nana and papa bought us this. Growing up, my dad had an old beat up work truck. When I was 16, I was lucky that he ever let me drive it. I was lucky he let me drive it once in a while. His old work up truck. When I got older, he bought a brand new truck. And he let my kids drive it when they were 13. Brand new truck. lets them drive me to 13. I'm like, who are you? You wouldn't even let me drive your old beat-up truck when I was 16. My kids, at the birthday, for Christmas, they got savings bonds. Every year, she got drawers full of savings bonds that are collecting interest and earning them money. I'm like, I never got one savings bond, one birthday, one holiday, nothing, nothing. My kids, they get it all the time. What? I was like, who are you people? I do not know you. I just come to this realization. They just love the grandkids more than they love me. Maybe that's not true, but maybe it is. But you know what happens? We invest in the things that we love. We invest, and it takes investment. It takes investment. You got to choose. I'm going to invest in the thing that I love. I'm going to choose to invest in these things. We choose to invest in what we love and what we value. Which brings us to number two point. Love is unselfish. Love is unselfish. This is so true. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. This is such a great scripture. Paul said, if I speak with tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm only like a resounding gong or clanging of the cymbals. If I have the gift of prophecy, look what he's saying. Man, you can get up and you can prophesy all you want. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I can have all faith to move any mountain. Hey, someone say amen. I can do all those things, but if I don't have love. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I can go out and say, well, I'll give all my possessions to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love. He goes, you're gaining nothing. Then he comes on and tells us about love. He says this about love. Look at this next verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not selfish, right? It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love, it never fails. Now, today, let's say it together. Love never fails. One more time. Love never fails. I can tell you this right now. That there's times in my life that I haven't always done the right thing. Shocker, right? And times in your life you haven't always done the right thing. And then I'm dealing with difficult people sometimes, and you're dealing with difficult people sometimes. I'm like, God, I'm dealing with people. How do I deal with them? And I just know this, that I may not have all the answers, but I do know this, that if I will operate in love, that God will always honor that. God will always honor that. There's been times I've operated in love, and it's just like, God, I just know this. I'm just going to love. I'm just going to love these difficult people. I'm going to love this person who I'm having a difficult time with. I'm just going to operate in love. And when I do that, no matter how they respond, God always ends up rewarding me for walking in love. Because why? Love never fails. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to respond. What do, Pastor? Walk in love. It didn't say you got to make him your best friend. It doesn't say you got to bring that person close to you to hurt you again. But this says you walk in the spirit of love. You walk in the love. Why? Because love, it will never fail. How do I handle that difficult boss in my life? Walk in love. How do I handle that difficult coworker? I walk in love. How do I handle that difficult mother-in-law? I walk in love. Come on now. How do I do it? I walk in love. The greatest thing we can do is walk in love and give ourselves away to love. Paul was saying this, I don't care how much of a super Christian you think you are. You can read the Bible through every year. You can come and you can prophesy. You can come in, act all spiritual. But if you're not loving, none of it means anything. They're all great, and they all are great things to be striving for. But if you don't love, it's the foundation of who we are. We must love, because love never fails. We invest in these things. It's unselfish in our life. True love will give and expect nothing in return. True love will give and expect nothing in return. We all like affirmation. We all like the feedback, and we all like to receive love back when we give it. But true love will give it away, even if it's not given back to you and I. Well, that's not fair. Pastor, you tell me I got to love people who won't love me back? Right. Why? Because that's how God loved you and I. That's how he loved us. He's not asking you and I to do anything that he hasn't done. He says, for while we were yet sinners, while we ran from him, while we rebelled from him, while we did not acknowledge him, while we were serving a different master, he says that he died for us. He first loved us before we ever loved him back. He gave his son for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his son for us. Why? Because that's the way he loves. He loves before we ever love him back. He responds to us before we ever respond to him. This is how the Father loves to us. The Father loved us. John 15:13. No greater love. Listen, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for one's friends. Man, no one has this love except if we lay down a life for our friends. This is how God loves us. True love dies to yourself. Let me put it this way, guys. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, my marriage is struggling. What's going on? I don't know, man. We just got to get to giving it 50-50. If we can both get 50-50, our marriage will be stable. And I say, I'm like, no, it won't. No, it won't. 50-50 won't cut it. Until your marriage gets to a point where you're giving 100%, 100%, it's not going to work. Why? Because we're called to die to ourselves. I've got to die to myself. My wife's got to die to herself. And we come together serving each other. Otherwise, I'm bringing selfish ambition. I'm bringing selfish motives. I've got to choose that even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to love. She's got to choose. Even when I'm not the greatest person to live with today, she's going to choose a love. And we got to choose to work beyond that. You said amen way too loud, baby. Come on. So you choose to lay down our life for each other. This is the way God has called us to love, that we lay down our life for our friends. And the third thing I want you to get today, love is unconditional. It's unconditional. God's love is unconditional. Our love is conditional at times, isn't it? Let's be honest. We struggle with this concept. We love those who love us back. We love those who will return it back. But it's hard to love somebody who doesn't give it back to you. As parents, don't ever say this. Parents, whatever you do, don't tell your kids if they're doing something that you don't agree with, if they're doing something you don't like, don't tell them, well, if you do this, I'm not going to love you anymore. That's the wrong message, because why? You're saying your love is conditional for them. Don't tell them, if you do this, I'm not going to love you anymore. What you tell them is simply this: if you continue to do this, I'm going to take you in the next room and show you just how much I love you. That's what you do. But I'm not called to come and say, you know what? You know what? My love is based on condition, because no matter what our children do, they may disappoint us. They may make us angry, sad. They may have a gamut of emotions that they produce in us. As a parent, we know this: our love never stops, right? Our love never stops for our kids. And some of you have been pushed and you understand this principle. You've had that's really tested out. But even through the hard, difficult season and even the rejection, you feel like this: my love is unconditional for my child. It doesn't leave. No matter what happens, my love doesn't leave me. See, we can't let this face us and take away that God's love is unconditional. Look what Romans 8 says. I love this. He talks about this and answers this question in Romans 8. Let's read verses 35 and then we'll go verses 38 and 39. He asked the question, who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to stop it, man? What's going to keep Christ's love from us? Then he asked, shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. listen to this. God loves you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let me put it to you this way. God can never love you any more than he loves you right now. Let that sink in. God can never love you any more than he loves you right now. And if that is true, then the opposite is also true, that God won't love you any less than he loves you right now. Stop trying to earn the love that you already have of the Father. And let his love set you free to live for him, to excel in him, and to change in him, and to grow in him, and to walk free in him. His love is unconditional for your life, for my life. It changes us. Stop trying to earn a love that you've already been given. Come on now, we're the best at that. God, I've got to earn your love today. And when I've had a great week, that God loves me, I can worship freely. When I've had a bad week and I haven't lived up to it, then I come in, woe is me. God, do you even love me anymore? God, am I even worthy? You know, and the enemy attacks our brain and our mind. It gets us doubting ourselves. And then what happens? We're putting it all about us. It's not all about us. It's about what he did on the cross. It's about he carried the weight of our sin upon the cross. Justice has been served. And so his love is unconditional for me. Just as a parent, my love is unconditional for my children. He says, even though you have this kind of love for your children, remember we talked about the last few weeks, and he goes, you're evil. He goes, you people are evil. He goes, but yet you still do good things for your kids. How much more will our Heavenly Father want to do good for us? How much more is his unconditional love for you and I? This is what sets us free today. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But it sets us free. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to earn it. Rest in his unconditional love. Why? Because he wants you to give it away. I can't give away what I've never experienced. If I can't experience unconditional love, then man, I battle with it. That's why at the very beginning of this Father series, we talked about this issue. That if you had a hard time with your father growing up, don't let that be a barrier to experiencing the Father's love in your life. I only experienced my earthly father's love this much, and so I kind of see God as limited in his love for me. That is such an untrue statement. That is so false. That is what the enemy wants you to believe. That's a lie that comes straight from the pits of hell. God's love for you is so great, so unconditional. He wants to pour out favor on your life. He wants to pour out blessing on your life. He wants to bring healing to your heart. He wants to restore your mind. He wants to bring the brokenhearted together. He wants you to feel his love. He wants to know you are valued. You are called. You are seen. You are valued. You are called. You are seen. You are loved unconditional. He wants you to get that today. Why? Because you've been called to be Jesus. And we've been called to give it away. How can I love the person who doesn't love me back? Oh, yeah, God, you love me that way. So, God, because you love me that way, I'm going to do my best to love others that way. How can I be called to love the person who talks bad about me? Oh, God, yeah, God, you love me that way. So now I'm going to love them that same way. God, how I love the person who's so difficult, who hurt me. Oh, God, yeah, you love me that way. You love me that way, so now I'm going to do my best to love that way. And it's not always easy. I'm not here to tell you it's all roses and going to be easy. It's a struggle at times. It's really hard and challenging at times, but it's who God's called us to be. And the more I let his love flood my life, the more I understand how much his love is for me, it sets me free to love others. Our musician's going to come this morning, and really, the problem is this morning. The problem is this. The problem is not is this. See, we know that God loves us. We know this. As I'm preaching this morning, you're like, amen, amen. I know this. We know that God loves us. That's not the problem. The problem is this. We don't really believe it. That's where the struggle is. We don't really believe it. We know God loves us, but I don't really believe that he can love me that way, Pastor. No one's ever loved me that way. I've never felt that love before. I don't believe it's possible. It's going to limit you as long as you have that barrier in your life. But I'm here to tell you today, God has sent me to tell you that that attitude is going to fall in your life this morning. God's going to break that attitude in your life. God's going to break that fear in your life. God's going to break that barrier in your life. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I just want to ask you a question. And nobody's looking around but me, and we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But make sure you have a chance to respond to today's message. You say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I've never given my heart to Jesus before. I never have accepted him as my personal Savior. And today, if that's you, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. We won't do anything to embarrass you, and no one's looking but me. But can you just raise it where I can see it and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Raise it high where I can see it. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise it right now if you haven't raised it. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. We're going to say this prayer. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life. I give you all of my sin. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give a hand clap. This is why we're here today. Yeah, this is why we're here. That you can experience the unconditional love of the Father. As you stand on your feet this morning, how many will raise your hands and say, Pastor, I really struggle with this unconditional love, man. Anybody want to be honest? Yeah, come on. It's all right. I've been there. Okay. Today, I want you to know that God's going to set you free from that. Today is going to be a new day for you. I'm going to invite all of us this morning. We got plenty of time. I'm getting you out a little bit early so you can respond to this, okay? So I'm going to invite you, if you want to come down to the front and join me as a place of the altar. See, we come to the altar. Why? Because we're letting God alter us. He's changing us. So we're stepping out today saying, God, I'm not going to be a slave to the old mentality. I'm not going to be a slave to that person before, but today I'm going to allow your love to change me from the inside out. Come on, press in, make room for those coming in behind you. We're going to sing a song to him today, and I want you just to make it personal today, saying, God, I accept your love today. Change me, the love of our Savior.
Sing hallelujah, Christ.
Now I want to pray for you this morning. Holy Father, we love you. We love you. In our imperfect way of loving, we love you. But this morning, it's not about how we feel, it's about how you feel. And God, you've told us plainly this morning that you love us with an unfailing, unconditional love that can never be stripped away, that doesn't have an expiration date. It's with us because you're with us. And you love us, God, just because that's who you are. And so I pray that we can receive that, that we can let it just wash over us and just change us. Let it energize and refresh us, God, knowing that we have a Father that we can call Abba, whose lap we can sit in and can hear wonderful things about ourselves from your heart, God. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this week we would meditate on how much you love us and that we would let it change us, God, and that we would in turn, Lord, seek to change someone else's life, Lord, by telling of your love. And God, I pray blessings over everyone here this week, God. Let it be an amazing week, God, full of revelation, God, full of meditation, and full of refreshing. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great week.